Are we exposed? This is what every security team is wondering. But with vulnerabilities scattered across network, cloud, AI, and OT silos, the truth is out of reach, and attackers know it. There's a better way. Unify to defy risk with Tenable AI-powered exposure management. Tenable brings together all your security data and exposures in one unified view, giving you the attacker's map and revealing the critical paths and weaknesses they can exploit. Now your teams can prioritize intelligently, move decisively, and collaborate without friction. Tenable turns scattered work into a single proactive force. Instead of chasing noise, your team knows where to focus, gaining clarity, control, and speed to reduce cyber risk with confidence. Learn more at tenable.com. Tenable. Your exposure ends here.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts.
This is Nurse of Death, the Lucy Letby story, a gripping true crime podcast that takes you deep into the chilling tale of allegations against Lucy Letby, a seemingly caring and dedicated nurse who harbored a dark secret. Join us as we unravel the twisted journey of a medical professional whose actions sent shockwaves throughout the healthcare community. It's the story of a nurse who went from saving lives to becoming the harbinger of death. This is Nurse of Death, the Lucy Letby story.
And here we are. She is on the stand as of this airing, and or this recording, rather. And it's been rather interesting. Stacey has begun to found her kind of endearing because she has cats.
I knew you were going to totally out me on that. Yeah, I'm a huge cat person. When I read that she had two cats, or heard that she had two cats, I should say, I went, oh, I wonder who's caring for them right now. And that's, I'm such a horrible person because that's the first thing that came to my mind was, oh, these poor cats. There's like, what, 17 babies who've been harmed by her.
Yeah.
Some of them dead, some of them survived. And I'm worried about Tigger and Smudge.
Hey, it's okay. When I was going through a divorce and there was some trauma that was going on in my house that was inflicted upon myself and my daughter. The first thing my mom wanted to know was, how are the pets doing?
Oh, God.
Like, they're fine. They're fucking fine.
Well, but you know what? There are some people that the way that they think, and I'm one of them, and I own it. I don't have any children. I have pets. I've never been into babies. I've held a baby maybe twice in my life. I've never changed a diaper. I babysat once, but I was kind of forced into it. This isn't my thing. I'm not a baby person. And I do feel horrendous compassion for these parents who've lost their children. And that's what makes me feel so bad about feeling bad about the cats right now. I'm a horrible person.
I was never a baby person until I had a baby. And then it was like, oh, okay, I get it. It like the instinct just kicked in. Other than that, I could care less about children. I didn't like kids when I was a kid. And, and I mean, as an adult now, you know, I have my own daughter, I have stepchildren and they're great. I love having them. It's really, I love the idea of, you know, years from now having kids coming back and grandkids, and it's fine. But as a young person before that, I was like, oh, I was very, you know, self-centered about myself. And not that everyone.
Well, and us being in radio too, radio was not a conducive career field if you wanted to have a family.
No.
Because you had to be up early in the morning in some cases, and you had to be doing things late at night. It was, if you had a family, that was not the career for you.
I don't know many people who went through radio and survived marriages either.
Yeah.
There's very, very few. I can probably name like one off the top of my head. And that's
yeah,
it.
I can name one as well. Well, two.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got two.
I can only think of one, but yeah. Anyway, let's get to the story today in the Nurse of Death, the Lucy Letby story.
box was entered by Lucy Letby to give evidence, 7 months after the commencement of her trial at Manchester Crown Court. The 33-year-old began the day by stating to the jury that she had always wanted to work with children and had been deeply affected by her arrest. "I just could not believe it. It was devastating. I don't think you could be accused of anything worse than that," she said, while fighting back tears.
Well, I suppose you could be. You could be accused of eating the babies, which some people, you know, do now too. So I say there's something slightly worse you could be accused of, Lucy, but still pretty bad.
In July 2016, she was taken off clinical duties and she felt devastated by this decision. Her defense lawyer, Ben Myers KC, inquired from her, "If you think back to when you were a young woman, you were 25, 26, before you were being blamed for what happened, are you the same person?" Letby responded, "Everything has completely changed. Everything about me and my life, the hopes I have for the future, everything has gone. There were times when I did not want to live. I thought of killing myself." Myers questioned, "Had you done anything wrong?" Letby answered, "No." Lucy Letby explained that it was normal for her to conduct Facebook searches on various people she had met, from colleagues to parents of children on the unit. The court was informed that she carried out 209 searches per people in September 2015, 173 in October that year, and 277 in November. Her defense lawyer, Ben Myers KC, asked her if there was any sinister reason for her actions when looking at the parents of children involved in the case. She replied that she did it out of general curiosity, same as the reason I'm looking at a lot of people. Later on, Letby broke down in tears as images of her former home in Chester were displayed to the jury.
I want to talk about the Facebook search a little bit it's very easy for everybody on the outside looking in to go, why would she be doing those sort of searches? And I ask everyone to do a little introspection and go, how about your Facebook searches? Who have you looked up that maybe would be a little creepy if looked at from the outside in, but because you had a morbid curiosity about somebody, you did the Facebook search. I think we've all been guilty of that a time or two.
But on that same vein, yeah, you are 100% right. But, and I went into my Facebook as we were hearing this stuff. My searches, I've got like 8. So, 209? Oh my God, 173, 277
searches.
Yeah, I just counted. I've got 9 probably in the last month.
What do you mean? Sir, these are people searching for you?
No, me searching for people, looking up people.
So you're stalking the world.
No. I've got 8 or 9.
Okay.
She's got the 200. No.
Oh,
she's
got, okay.
She does.
Okay. I was misunderstanding this is what you do all day. You're like Facebooking everyone.
Oh my God.
Everyone.
No, I have 9. I counted. I have 9. She has 209 for September. She has 173 in October. She has 277 in November. That is a shit ton searches.
Is it though for a 21-year-old or whatever she is, 20? I know she's in her 20s. Is that really that shocking? I mean, people use this stuff, they live on it, and they're searching this and that all the time. I don't know. I don't know that I'm that shocked.
Do you come across 209 people?
No, I don't.
Neither do I. I don't know. Maybe.
But like if I'm following a story or something that's breaking, usually one of the first things I'll do is try and look up their social media before it gets taken down. Because sometimes that will reveal more information about the person. But
those 3 months, she searched 659 times for people.
That's creepy. And it was people where it's like, and the babies died in your care and you're kind of stalking the family now. So there is a little weirdness to it. Let's continue on.
A notice board in her kitchen was filled with pictures and letters, including one in a child's handwriting that said, "No, one godmother awarded to Lucy Letby." One picture showed a cupboard in her living room containing folders with various documents, including medical records for her two cats named Tigger and Smudge. Mm-hmm. Letby explained through tears that the folder was for her pets. Myers then questioned Letby about various notes found in her home. She said that she wrote the notes as a way of processing my thoughts after she became aware of the allegations against her and was distraught when she wrote them. She said, "I don't think you can really put it into words. It was devastating, and it changed my whole life. When asked about being accused of the baby deaths and collapses, jurors were shown Letby's diary, and she explained that she would note down most events, from a bed and washing machine delivery to drinks with friends, and whether she was working a long day's shift. When asked why she included the names of babies in her diary, she said, "For my own reflection."
And I can understand the reflection part, but it's the it's the parts of like, I killed them. If you realize that you're being suspected of murdering children, you have to be a fucking idiot if you're going to go home and start writing all over the place, "I killed them, I'm evil, I'm a murderer."
Yeah.
If
that's a bit problematic.
You're either a complete moron or you're guilty of murdering children. Being a moron doesn't make you a murderer, but what the hell is... There's something very wrong with you if you're writing those things down while you're being accused and under a microscope.
Well, and she had to have known she was under a microscope.
She did. Yeah. I mean, so it's like, why would you... It's almost like, are you creating evidence for it to be found? Because if you're under suspicion, eventually they're probably going to search your home. And you are just putting these things out there? What, because you want to be found guilty? I think there's a level of this person where she did want to be caught. And I think that's exactly what happened.
Do you think there's a possibility that this woman has several personalities and one of them is a killer?
You know, it's a high bar for multiple personalities to be a thing. It's not like what we thought of in like the 80s on Ricky Lake when somebody came like, "Oh, they have multiple personalities." Like, a lot of it really wasn't that. Does it exist? Yes, but it is extremely rare. It is extremely, extremely, extremely rare. Could it be possible here? Sure. Could this be more likely some sort of personality disorder and some sort of narcissistic thrill? Or a God complex. Maybe it was the, "I'm going to, you know, put these children in grave danger and then be the one that saves them." I'm thinking much more likely along those lines than necessarily a multiple personality. Although, you know, anything is possible. Let's continue on.
Myers inquired from Letby how much effort she put in to look after the babies in your care. She replied, "I only ever did my best." When asked about being accused, Letby expressed, "I don't think you can really put it into words. It was just devastating, and it changed my whole life." Myers then questioned Letby about a note covered in red and black writing, which had "bastards" written on it. He asked her if she normally used such language, and she responded, "That's not language I would use." Myers asked her why she used it in this particular case, to which she said, "That's how I felt about people who were accusing me." When asked whom she was referring to, Letby mentioned Ravi Jayaram and Steve Breary, hospital consultants. Myers questioned, "Why did you think that about them?" Letby answered, "Because of the things they've been saying about me."
Why are you in your mid-20s writing down words like "bastard" on large pieces of paper and putting them around your house?
That's a really good question. Like, it's a really unusual thing for somebody that age to do.
Seems like a very, like, something you do when you're like 8. Mm-hmm. Like, "hate, bad," like, what?
"You bastard."
Like, what? Why would you be doing that? I don't know.
Yeah.
When the questioning turned back to the hospital, Ms. Letby said the following. While the unit had become noticeably busier between June 2015 and June 2016, and there were a lot more babies with complex needs, and staffing levels had not been adjusted accordingly. She explained that the death of a baby on the unit had affected everyone and that there was a noticeable change in atmosphere. No formal support was provided, and staff simply leaned on each other, she said. "You have to carry on and have to be professional for the other babies you're caring for," Ms. Letby added. She was also questioned about her relationships with other staff members and how she spent her free time. She stated that she had quite an active social life and used to regularly attend salsa classes, lunch with friends, holidays with friends, and gym. When asked about her relationship with a doctor on the unit who cannot be named for legal reasons, she described him as a trusted friend. When asked if their relationship was more than a friendship, she replied with a no.
There you go. Lucy Letby.
Salsa dancer. Sorry, I'm having a hard time with that one.
She's salsa dancing. Well, I mean, there's a lot of pictures of her that you see like on Daily Mail and such, just showing her in normal life, and she looks like a completely normal human being.
She does.
But then it's like, I think that's what makes this even creepier, because I don't know, we picture our villains a certain way. This looks like your average 20-some blonde nurse that's, you know, getting started in life. Like, she couldn't look less threatening, quite honestly.
Yeah. And yet she, you know, what we're learning about her is she could be completely evil.
The trial continues, and we'll keep you updated here.
This is Nurse of Death, the Lucy Letby story, a gripping true crime podcast that takes you deep into the chilling tale of allegations against Lucy Letby, a seemingly caring and dedicated nurse who harbored a dark secret. Join us as we unravel the twisted journey of a medical professional whose actions sent shockwaves throughout the healthcare community. It's the story of a nurse who went from saving lives to becoming the harbinger of death. This is Nurse of Death, the Lucy Letby story.